Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear your testimony and how God is using Destiny in your life. You can visit our website, destinychurchjacksonville.com, and click on the testimony link. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can do so online. Now, get ready to receive a word from God.
Good morning, everyone. And it's a joy to be here. And I'm just excited about the presence of God. I love how cool is it that when we gather together that he shows up in our midst every time. Like he's faithful. He's always faithful to show up. I'm so grateful for that. And I'm just excited about what God has for each and every one of us. And I just want to welcome everyone today. I want to especially welcome our guests. I know Ashley welcomed you, but I want to just personally welcome you. And church, can we welcome our guests this morning? We just count it an honor to have you here with us. We know that you could choose to be doing anything on this nice, beautiful fall weather. Can we thank God for that? Finally feels like football weather, somebody. But anyway, we're so glad to have you here this morning. And if you are just joining us, we've been on a series called Legacy. And I think the overall emphasis of this series is the truth that God wants to use you. He wants to use you to make a difference, to live a life that will outlive you. And I want to share with you my hope for this series by giving you an illustration that I heard years ago. It's about three guys who were laying brick. And someone came up to the first guy and said, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm laying brick." Then he went to the second guy and says, "Well, what are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm building a wall." And then he went to the third guy and says, "And what are you doing?" And he says, "I'm building a cathedral." They were all three doing the same things. They just each had a different perspective. And my hope for you is that our perspective would line up with the truth of God's word. That you wouldn't see the things that you do routinely in your life as just this momentary action that carries no weight into the future, but rather that the things that you're doing now, that they're building something great. Something that will outlive you. And ultimately, something that will show up in eternity. And I love the illustration about the three guys laying brick because it connects my heart to a particular scripture that I believe speaks to the truth of what God is doing in our lives. It is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to read it to you out of the Message translation. And it says, God is building a home. He's using all of us, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day. As a matter of fact, if there's something that you don't see in your life, that's okay. You're taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God. All of us built into it. But are you grabbing that? That's so powerful. A temple in which God is quite at home. I love this verse because what it's saying is that we're not just workers who are laying bricks, but you and I are the bricks. We're the ones that God is using, the stones that he's using, if you will, to build his temple, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Some of you are still second-guessing how valuable you are to God. You are so valuable. In 1 Peter 2:5, Peter echoes some similar words as Paul when he says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Church, if I had one prayer throughout this series, it's that each one of you would grab the magnitude, the enormity of the role that God has for you to fulfill here on the earth. Yeah. I mean, Just try and grab hold of this statement if you can. You have the ability to make an eternal difference. Hey, that's greater than winning a world championship. That's greater than closing a billion-dollar deal. It's greater than anything that we measure using the world standard of measurement of power and money, because the things which are seen, the things of the world, they're temporary. But the things that are unseen, they're eternal. See, I feel like all too often that we use the world's measuring stick. Please understand, I'm not talking at you, but rather I'm talking to you, because I fall prey to this myself. Like, I see myself wanting to know, well, how many people were in attendance on a Sunday morning at church, which is the world's measuring stick, right? God's measuring stick is how many people grew closer to him and grew in their faith and made a step closer to becoming the person that he's destined for them to be, because those are the things that are eternal. In the verse that we just read, 1 Peter 2:5, it says that we are like living stones and that we are a holy priesthood. I just want to talk to you just a minute about what it means to be living stones, to be that holy priesthood. Each week you've been hearing me say that you are called by God. Well, what that means is that it means that you have a God-ordained responsibility that God has called you to. We'll call it an assignment. And throughout your life, God will call you to various tasks, various assignments. We're actually going to talk about that in length in our upcoming series called Seasons. But those assignments are God-ordained tasks which God anoints you to do. And that could be as simple as joining a serve team or leading a community group, or it could be something as great as staying at home and raising your children. And I say great because I think that's one of the greatest callings that we could ever have. For some of you, it could be building a business so that you could have the means to support the spreading of the gospel. For others, that might mean the people that God has placed in your life for you to invest in. But for whatever your assignment is for this season of your life, God has anointed you for it. Watch this. You are a minister in that assignment. But here's what we got to be careful of: that we don't desire someone else's assignment. God anoints us for our assignment, not someone else's. And this is an important word for the church, because we need to hear this, because so many people, they want to be someone else. Or should I say, they want someone else's assignment. And here's the thing. God may very well call you to that thing one day, but are you being faithful with where he's got you now? Because God won't promote you to that assignment if you're not faithful with the one that he's already given you. As a matter of fact, what will end up happening if you try to carry someone else's assignment is that the weight of that assignment will be too much for you. Amen. Come on, that's why David didn't put on King Saul's armor. Are you following me? Amen. Matter of fact, David said to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." David didn't put on Saul. David put on David and who God had called David to be. Church, please don't ever neglect, and don't underestimate, and don't disregard the significance of your assignment. But I'm going to bring your attention to the last part of 1 Peter 2:5, where it says that we are offering spiritual sacrifices. Who are offering? Who's offering them? We are. So what's that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. It means some of the things that we've already talked about in this series, about having the right view of God, the right view of others, and the right view of self. But what it also means is that it's going to cost you something. You see, these offerings aren't just something that we do with little to no thought, but rather they're to be well thought out. I'm talking about intentional offerings. Now, as I considered about what that might look like in each of our lives, I have to consider that each and every one of you are in different places in your faith. Like, some of you have been serving God maybe just for a few months or maybe even a few weeks, while yet others of you, you've been serving God for a long time. And so I wanted to package today's message in such a way that it could work for wherever you are in your walk with God, and to present some principles that will help you to start living a life of legacy. Last week I said that it's never too late to start leaving a legacy, but the flip side is also true, and that's that you're never too young to start leaving a legacy. Listen, if you're a young person, don't think that you have to wait till you graduate or till you get married or till you land that right job before your life really matters. Because I'm here to tell you that right now, your life really matters. And the things that you're doing right now can echo throughout eternity. But we're all at different places in our journey with God. And so I want to present today's message in the form of a challenge. It's a one-size-fits-all challenge, but one that hopefully will be used as a guide in us leaving a legacy. And the first challenge is this, that some of us need to think through doing what we should do. And at the heart of this challenge, it's us considering the fact that we have an impact in the lives of others. That the things that you do, the things that you say, regardless if you want it to be this way or not, it impacts others. And if this is true, and it is, then why not do it for the good and for the glory of God? But every beginning has a baseline, a starting point. I know that some of you may say, well, Pastor, I'm not quite ready to go and change the world just yet, and that's okay. But hey, let's make some forward progress by taking that first step, no matter how small that step may seem to be to you. There's a scripture in the Bible. It's found in the book of Zechariah 4:10. It says, do not despise these small beginnings. Yeah. See, if there's one thing that we know that's true about God is that God's thoughts, they're different than our thoughts. As a matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah said that his thoughts are simply not our thoughts, nor is his ways our ways. That's why Jesus looked at the widow who gave two mites and said that she put in more than everyone else, even though they gave larger sums. You see, God uses a different measurement than we do. God measures the heart. And so this first challenge is one that we have to consider and that we have to weigh before the Lord, what I should do. And as you consider that thought, let me just say that how you start determines what more you can do. Matter of fact, let me say it another way, that how you start often determines how you finish. I'm talking about considering what we do, how we should give of our lives. And then once we engage and take action, we remain faithful. Come on, someone say faithfulness. Mother Teresa once said, be faithful in small things because it's in them that your strength lies. You see, I can't expect to move to the next thing if I've not carried out my assignment on my present thing. Come on, for those of you who are parents, you understand this concept. Or at least I hope you do, right? You see, because whenever my daughter asks if she can have money to go watch a movie with her friends, first I want to know if she's cleaned up her room and made up her bed. Hello, parents? Come on, I'm helping you now. Because I'm not going to take care of this until she takes care of that. And honestly, God isn't any different. Let me show you. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, he says, whoever can be trusted with very little, when making your bed, can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy, talking about faithfulness here, in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? One of the things I found that's true about God is that While there are aspects of who God is and how he operates that I'll never understand, and by the way, that's a good thing, because if I could completely understand the ways of God, then that wouldn't make him God, right? But there's a key here that we have to look at in regards to God and his dealings, and that is this, is that a lot of his dealings, they're practical, and they make a lot of sense. I think that being a dad has helped me more than anything understand God's dealings in that he is our heavenly father, right? But I just want to ask, what is your current assignment? What's that thing that you should be giving attention to, that you should be doing, that you're not doing? Because the key for you to get to the next thing is to be faithful in that assignment. Church, I've just learned, my wife and I were talking about this last night as God's dealing with some areas in my life, and there's just no shortcuts. I mean, like, in life, like, you might be able to just shortcut a few things with your kids, shortcut a few things with your job, shortcut your taxes, you know, and you might get away with it, but, like, watch this, you're not going to get away with it with God. Are you following me? Like, we need to yield to the processes of God and what God is wanting to do in our lives. The key for you to getting to the next thing is to be faithful in that assignment. And for some of you, that's just something as simple as offering forgiveness to someone. As a matter of fact, I think that was a word for someone this morning. Like, that's your assignment. Like, you need to forgive who's hurt you, because until you do, you can't move forward to the next thing. Because you see, faithfulness, church, that applies to every area of our life. And can I also say that please don't think that this first point is just for those that are under 30, but it's also for those of you who have lived some life, but there are still some hopes and some dreams that God has placed in your heart that have not yet come about. See, for some of you, it's time to take that first step. Yeah. That, I don't know what that means for you. Maybe that means scheduling that appointment with the adoption agency or having a logo built, buying that domain name. First steps. You see, you can be in your 60s and still take some first steps, because there are still new and fresh things that God has called you to. So this first challenge isn't just for young people. You see, faithfulness is a virtue that we should carry all throughout our whole life until we breathe our last breath. And if we'll continue to be faithful with whatever God has called us to, then God will be faithful to bring about the dreams that he's put in our hearts. Amen? Now, the second challenge is this. Do what I could do. The first challenge is to do what I should do, but the second challenge is to do what I could do. And this challenge is to go above and beyond. It's not something that's necessarily a requirement, but it's something that we could do. And this is the next level of leaving a legacy. It's us saying that I don't have to do this, but can I take it to the next level? Like, I don't have to give that much, but could I? I don't have to make that phone call and encourage that person, but could I? I don't have to sign up to be on a serve team in order for God's love to be poured out on my life. But could I? See, I think that a lot of Christians, they never make it past the first challenge. They're just stuck on doing what they should do. But maturity takes you further and asks, what could I do? And here's the thing about this challenge. It'll cost you something. I'm not saying that doing what you should do is not going to cost you something, but in doing what you could do, it is absolutely, most certainly going to cost you something. But if you want to leave a legacy, there's a cost that's associated with it. Are you hearing me, church? Yeah. We talked a little bit about this last week when I challenged you to order water as you drink at the restaurant instead of soda in order to save and to use that money and invest it into something that really matters. Now, do you have to do that? No. By the way, there's no condemnation if you didn't or you don't, but could you do it? Do you want to take it to the next level? Really, church, can I just tell you, these are the types of conversations that I want in my family, right? What more could we do in order that more people would come to know the Lord? Years ago, we made a decision to change the reward system that we had in children's church. We used to give points for whenever children would come, just their attendance, and for bringing their Bible, they would get a point. And also if they, and this was one we kind of did in faith, they said that if they read their Bible that week, we would also give them a point. And then we would give them prizes in exchange for those points. But we decided that we didn't want to teach our children to just do things for self, but to do things for others. And so we revamped our system to where we now turn their points into dollars that they could then use to support and to bless others. And that's led to them buying chickens, buying Bibles, giving school supplies, giving to the homeless, giving to various missionaries and outreaches, just to name a few. Now, did we have to do this? No. But could we? Church, I think that we need to be asking more could we questions. You see, for us, we had to make a decision. Did we want to be known as the church that had the children's ministry that gave away cool prizes, or do we want to be known as the ones who are more concerned with teaching the right principles to our children? And not only those principles, but their giving has brought about life change. Not only life change in those that they gave to, but in their lives. Friends, maturity moves beyond should and to could. I'm going to read you a verse about a group of people that Paul commends who fall perfectly in line with what we're talking about right now. And it's found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. And the scripture says that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond. Come on, say beyond. Even beyond their ability. They didn't just give what they should, but they gave what they could. And I want you to catch the next part. It says, entirely on their own. No one pep rallied them. No one forced them to. It was entirely on their own. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service. Do you hear what that's saying? That's someone coming along saying, Pastor, what can I give to? Like, I've just got to give because I've got so much in my heart that I've just got to give it away. How can I serve? Pastor, where do you need me? And not just in your church, but even in your neighborhood. How can I serve? How can I serve my neighbor? How can I serve my coworker? How can you serve that employer that you're just, every time you think about them? If you'll start serving them, maybe God will start changing the way you feel about it. I'm just saying. But there's a key word that's associated with this level. You ready for it? Not sure if you are or not, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's called sacrifice. What I'm saying is that if you want to leave a legacy, it can't be just doing what everyone else does. It's got to eventually turn to the point to where someone says, can't we do more? Can I just say that that's many of you in this room. Many of you in this room fall under this category. Many of you give above and beyond your ability. You sacrifice each week by coming early and setting up and tearing down. And many of you drive from considerable distances just to be a part of this dream called Destiny Church. Several of you have even moved your families here and taking new jobs just to be a part of this dream. So I just want to recognize and honor those of you who are making those sacrifices. But to all of us, I just want to ask, what more could we do? What more can we do to reach the lost? What more could we do to see life change? And what other ways could we give so that more people would come to know Jesus? See, there's always going to be something required of us if we want to leave a legacy. We are living stones, as the Apostle Peter said. We're not just laying bricks or building a wall. We're building a cathedral, amen? We're building a place where people can come who are hurting and weary. And as each one of us does as he should, and also as he could, we get one step closer to the reality of that dream. But then lastly, there's another level. Now, you might think that that last level would kind of be like the pinnacle or the height of what we're shooting for, but there's actually a third level, and that's to do what I would do. Do what I would do if. So I don't have it. I can't even really do it. But God, if you would do blank, then I would blank. This is the level that's reserved for the dreamers. This is for those who would say, God, we don't want to just live at an attainable level. We want to dream God-sized dreams. Right. And here's the thing. Some of these things, they may not happen. But, you know, I think that God loves it whenever his children says, God, if you'll entrust me with this, we would do that. We've done what we should. We've done what we could, and now, God, if you make it possible, then this is what we would do. And I just feel such a mandate right now to charge you to dream, yeah, and to dream big, to consider what you would do if you were given the opportunity. And there's one word that undergirds this third point, and it's the word faith. My pastor used to say to me all the time, you've got to go there before you get there. Yeah. And what he meant by that was, before I got to see it with my physical eyes, I had to first see it with eyes of faith. And I'll tell you what I've learned about faith. Are you ready? Faith doesn't just sit around. It doesn't just sit around. Faith recognizes that the task is beyond them. But it also recognizes that we have a part to play. Listen, God parted the water, but Moses had to raise his hand and lift up his staff. God caused the walls of Jericho to come down, but not before Joshua first had to march around them for 7 days. Are you with me? I mean, like, it's the reason that Jesus didn't give Peter a piggyback ride when he was walking on the water, right? He required him to take a step of faith. And I believe that God is calling us to take some steps of faith. Because watch this, true faith prompts us. It prompts us to move in the direction that God has called us. I want to share with you a scripture that means so much to me. Man, I was living and hanging on to the scripture, weren't we, Buck, whenever we moved here. It's Hebrews 11:8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, so it wasn't his yet, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he's going. Now, did you catch that? It says that he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He obeyed even though he didn't understand. He obeyed even though the blueprint hadn't been laid out for him. Even though he didn't understand, he didn't even know how it was going to turn out. He obeyed and went because, church, that's what faith does. That's why I'm already dreaming and talking to architects about what our home church building is going to look like, even though we don't even know where it's going to be yet. I'm going there before I get there. Go with me or not, but I'm going there before we get there. Let me share something else about faith. Faith talks a certain way. Are you hearing me? You see, when you live a life of faith, your vocabulary changes. The things that you used to say, you no longer say. You speak a different language. Yeah. See, I'm convinced that there are many Christians who haven't experienced certain things because of the way that they talk. Because if all you ever do is just talk about like how things can't possibly happen, then it's going to be unto you according to what you believe. I heard someone once say, don't expect too much, that way you won't be disappointed. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. Don't worry, it wasn't any of you that said it. But what that person was basically saying was, don't dream, then you won't be disappointed when it doesn't happen. But faith believes, and faith speaks. It calls things not as though they were. It says that something may appear one way, but that's okay. It's only temporary. Church, I want you to think of faith kind of like this. This past spring, we put a pool in our backyard. And as a result, we had to tear up our sprinkling system, and it was shut off for several months, and it affected our grass, not to mention all of the heavy machinery that was going back and forth and the digging and stuff. But about midsummer, someone came and asked me, he says, man, what are you going to do about this? And I said to them, don't worry, the seed is already in the ground. You see, I knew what they didn't. That the seed was in the ground. And so even though they couldn't see the results of what had been done, in due season. Come on, seasons. That sounds like a good name for a sermon series title right there, Ashley. In due season, in its proper time, the harvest would come. And now if you've seen my backyard lately, guess what? I've got some green grass. Ask Corey Gankars. Little insider joke there. But I just want to ask, what seed has God given you? I know this point may sound a lot like the other point, right? But really, they go hand in hand. It's being you being faithful in what you can do, and God will be faithful in what only he can do. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 9, 10 and 11 says. It says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. Why? Now catch this. This is so important, man. We could dissect this and talk about this for like 30 minutes because it's just that rich. It's God saying, hey, look, I'm going to put some stuff in your hand. And if you'll be faithful with the stuff that I put in your hand, guess what? I'm going to put some more stuff in your hand. But it's not just for us to consume it. Like, here's where the prosperity gospel got it wrong. I believe that God wants to prosper us. I believe that because I know what the Bible says. But it's the purpose for which God prospers us. He blesses us in order to be a blessing. Come on now, we need to be like conduit. You see, you can't see conduit. God's using it. It's not standing out here and saying, hey, put the light on me. It's saying, God, just use me, and my name doesn't need to be attached to it. But Lord, let your blessings pour out into my life and let it pour through my life to others. So God wants to prosper you. God wants to bless you. He wants to put seed in your hand. Why? The Bible tells you right here. It says, so that you can be generous on some occasions. Oh, it's not just every once in a while when we feel like it and whenever, well, I got a little bit of extra money, so I think I'll go ahead and write an extra check to the church. Oh, okay. On every occasion. And through us, and this is what's so important. This is the reason that we do it, church. I mean, this like right here is the full purpose and the full intent. That through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You know what that's saying? It's saying the reason that we give of our time, of our energy, of our resources, the reason that we give of our time and our talent and our tithe is so that people would come to know Jesus. That's the reason why, church. That's the reason why. I'm glad that one person's excited about that and thanking God, thank you. I'll take what I can get. He's put seed in our hands. He's put seed in our hands. God is the one, though, who ultimately brings the harvest, right? Like, he's ultimately the one who's responsible for the dream coming to pass. But in the context of legacy, there's a part that you and I have to play if we want to see something outlive us, if we want to leave something of significance. But it's going to require faith. And the Bible teaches us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So I just want to bring my message to a close by asking, what type of legacy are you hoping for in your life and in your children's life? What dreams, what hopes do you have that are bigger than you? Well, it's going to take faith. And in closing, I'm going to leave you with a quote from Corrie Ten Boom. And I just want to ask if you would stand with me as I read this last quote, and the worship team will then take us into worship. But Corrie Ten Boom said, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. I'm going to say that one more time. Repetition's the best teacher. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. And so I just want to ask, can you see it? Do you believe it? And will you receive it? Come on, will you receive it? Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, would you cause us to move beyond where we are today and to the place that you have called us, the place of faith. As the father who cried out for you to heal his son, we say, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. God, may we be a people who are found faithful, and may we never count any sacrifice as too great a cost as we offer it up to you. And may we dream knowing that with you all things are possible. For it's your name and your renown that is the desire of our hearts. That is the legacy that we're living for. Cause us to go forth from this place knowing both who you are and who we are in you. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Come on, all the church said. Come on, let's worship.
Live with a vision, a courage.